Welcome to SciTech Culture with Steve Kern and Ben Warner, where we examine science, technology and culture in the 21st century. Visit our website at scitechculture.com.
Thought we'd start off with a bit of film discussion. Well, not just start off with, we'll do the whole episode. Why not have a bit of fun with this? I really did enjoy this story you sent through about the Shark Is Broken, this play that's based on the making of Jaws. Like, actually, what caught my eye was just the fact that it was a play on the was about the making of Jaws. Maybe that was like the only medium that story hadn't been told. And I'm not knocking it at all, because obviously, apart from Jaws being a iconic film, what went on behind the scenes was almost just as iconic a story as well, and which has been told in documentary form. But I've kind of find it interesting, Robert Shaw's son, you know, sort of driving this and putting it together, but doing it in play format. I thought that would be quite interesting, because obviously the behind the scenes stuff, leaving Bruce the Shark out of the story, I can imagine the interactions between people behind the scenes would have been fascinating to watch, and maybe that's what he's successfully captured in this play.
Well, I think so. I mean, it's basically his memories of being on set as a child, and that is, like any human experience, is highly interpretive. And a documentary is about facts, but this, I guess, must be more about a story of being there and maybe being at an age where everything's open to interpretation and mystery and discovery. And it sounds like it'd be a great play, because it would have all of the the background to it that we know through the film that everyone loves, and it changed filmmaking and it made Spielberg a star and all these other things. But this is a human, and it's a personal experience, and it's probably an experience no different to what any one of us would have experienced behind the scenes. It's not driven by the film itself or by the film's fame itself. It's driven by our interest in what makes a film great.
Absolutely. If nothing else, the Richard Dreyfuss, Robert Shaw banter, I'm sure, would be a highlight to have a listen to, because their relationship behind the scenes was certainly interesting. All right. So, let's turn our attention to the main topic, The Odyssey. So, lighting the internet on fire, it would seem. Now, I had the chance to go watch it last week. Before I get into what I thought of it, and I'm just adding my 5 cents to the internet here as well, I guess. But what I wanted to just start with, just the insanity that's going on about the reaction to this film, because it was almost like it's preloaded before you even go to watch the thing. That they were talking about, like, regardless of whether it was going to be the biggest woke piece of trash committed to film versus it's going to be the greatest film of all time, that started actually ahead of the film's release, and then it obviously got kicked into overdrive after the film was released, because then you've got your out of theater reactions with both sides offering that kind of thinking. And to me, it was like, so I go into the cinema with all of this, having seen some of this already, and I already was like obviously suspect that the film would live up to that hype on either side. And the thing is I kind of felt guilty, because I watched it, and there's certainly nothing wrong with the film. It's almost like technical perfection, like in terms of its execution, like all the images are spectacular, the acting's great, there's certainly, like, I didn't mind the modern vernacular used in the language. It's a reinterpretation of an old story, so what, get over it. It's myth, so I wasn't concerned if it wasn't historically accurate or whatever. So all of that was fine. I just walked out feeling very meh about it. I just didn't feel anything when I came out. And I find, as much as I like Christopher Nolan films, because, in today's day and age, the sort of like that name brand recognition director who's been able to build that street cred that his name will get you into the cinema. There's certainly a lot of films that I've liked of his, but I find this one fell into the boat where some of his other films have fallen, where everything is kind of there, but you don't walk out for having felt anything. Because it feels like it was too mathematically constructed to be perfect. And it was missing something at the end of it. I have a few theories around why that's the case as well, based on some of the choices he made. But yeah, and then I came out thinking that, and I was like, what the hell is everyone getting so fired up about? Oh, maybe it's because they needed like a lightning rod to get fired up about, and it actually didn't matter what that lightning rod was.
Well, I think you could be right, Ben. I think in a lot of these cases, so much effort goes into working up costumes, working up sets, you know, and in the modern age, it's the CGI and the colorization of the film as well. And they put so much effort into all of these things, you know, and Christopher Nolan knows how to make a film. He's a very good filmmaker. I haven't seen the film, but I can hear what you're saying. It's just, there's so much attention to detail. You know, the story is just another detail. You know, it is interesting. The commentaries, as far as I'm concerned, are just ridiculous. You know, in every Hollywood, you know, mythology, classic style film, you know, that we've seen, there's always something wrong, whether it's an American accent, whether it's, you know, somebody miscast, whether it's whatever it is. It really doesn't matter. This is a mythological story being brought to life, and if it excites us and brings passion in us, then that's a good thing. And if it gives us some understanding too, because these stories are loosely based on historical events. But if you come out of the cinema going, meh, well, maybe that's worse than whether there was a woke agenda or whether it wasn't the greatest film in the world. It wasn't even the worst greatest film in the world.
To be fair, that was my impression of the film itself, maybe the end product. That's not to take away from the fact that what I really did appreciate about it was that it was, in effect, it was an old school production. You know, I'm sure there were tweaks of CGI here and there, but it's virtually absent. Like, basically, it was a film that the way they made it would have been the same as they did 30 years ago or something, before computers were a thing that, you know, kind of, you know, in some ways, some would argue, ruined a lot of, you know, filmmaking. So in that respect, like, I did have an appreciation for the technical aspect, but like you said, you want that sort of higher level, oh yeah, that was awesome feeling when you walk out of the thing. But I just felt flat. And I know I mentioned this already, we were talking about it before, but I know a lot of praises have been going to Matt Damon, and again, there's not necessarily anything that he's done wrong, but I also wonder about the casting choice, because, you know, the film is clearly leveraging his likability to sort of to satisfy the trope of the hero's journey kind of thing. But if you look, but the film does introduce the complexities of the Odysseus character into the film, and he's not like, there are some things he does in this film where you think, man, what the hell are you doing? And you wonder, does he really deserve to actually get to, you know, the end of the journey based on some of the decisions he's made? And it's kind of like suggesting that just because of the merit of his position is what gets him back. Like, I actually was feeling sorry for the Cyclops at one point. They all disturbed him in his cave, you know, his men seem to die every time they make landfall somewhere, based on a decision he's made. So it just, I thought that that complexity, while it was welcome to have complexity in that narrative, I felt like they didn't match up the fact that they probably needed someone in there that could also deliver on that complexity as well. That's not to say that Matt Damon wasn't capable as an actor of doing that, but he was clearly kind of shaped in that film to be more like a Maximus-style gladiator character rather than what was obviously a more complex character from that story.
Maybe Rusty wasn't available when they asked. Who knows? But on that one final thing on this, I raised it before, you know, the colorization, and I've seen the trailer and I've seen the commentary online. The film seems literally very dark, you know, to the point where watching the trailer on a phone or even a laptop, you're squinting to try and see, you know, parts of the film. I can only imagine that on a big screen with more light, probably it works. I don't know.
Well, you know, I'll tell my story about trying to get into an IMAX session. I logged onto the IMAX website here for Melbourne, and I was told that I had to go into a queue to access the website, and I would be given 5 minutes to get a ticket, at which point I just gave up and went to a normal cinema where they displayed the aspect ratio as intended, even though it wasn't the immersive IMAX size screen. And the quality was there, like... I get what you're saying about the dark scenes, and maybe that's like the selling point to go and see it in the cinema, because it actually, that even though the IMAX frame was kind of, you know, obviously compressed down to the format that of the cinema that I saw it in, you know, even if you shoot at a higher res format, that higher res still manages to make it through into the lower res format. And I actually like, it was quite rich in that respect, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Eventually, this thing's going to end up on... You'll be watching it on TV or on an iPad or something like that, and I just don't think it would work.
Well, it was interesting because technically, even in the trailer, like... And, you know, of course, this would never have happened in the olden days, even 20 years ago. They've got people outdoors with their faces in shadow. Now, of course, you can make out their faces because they're colorized to lift, I guess, the light, but it's... To me, it just looks weird. In real life, it wouldn't, but in film, it does, because we should see all in face.
Yeah, well, I guess it's mythological. I don't know what it's a stylistic choice or something.
Well, that aside, you know, it sounds to me like another film. I really don't know why it's become such a polarizing film.
Just an excuse to be polarized, which is actually a nice little segue. I did want to do, just moving off the Odyssey, I did want to touch on Masters of the Universe, which I actually enjoyed a lot more than the Odyssey, ironically enough, even though I watched it here, here at home. The thing that... Like, that film bombed earlier in the year. It lost a lot of money. Not many people went to see it. probably not. Like, it generated this kind of, you know, discourse online about, you know, whether or not it was woke, not woke, and whatnot. And the thing that I found funny about it is that, obviously... probably one of the reasons it failed is that, you know, someone like me, I actually did watch the cartoon when I was a kid, because that was kind of in my, you know, growing up phase in the 80s. And, you know, it's kind of geeky and corny and all that sort of stuff. And they translated all of that into the film. So the film doesn't take itself seriously at all. It's quite funny in parts. I mean, some of it's cringy and whatever, but as an entertaining ride, I actually thought it was probably one of the better films that have come out this year, just from a pure entertainment factor. Again, you know, thinking about the Odyssey and this, like in terms of how people react to these things, why can't we just like enjoy what's there and just take it for what it is? You know, I mean, I'm recommending, you know, if you want to watch Masters of the Universe, please do. And actually there's an argument that there's a couple of segments in Masters of the Universe that deliberately makes fun of woke material, subtly, but it does some interesting things in there which are actually really funny. But who knows?
Look, satire, good humour, and not taking itself too seriously are good hallmarks of any film. So sounds like a winner to me. You know, of course, people are analysing these films today in ways they just never have before. But why can't we just go to films and enjoy them?
Apparently not. We have to have an idea that, well, that's, well, maybe we can just finish on this. Films of the past used to generate discussion, but it wasn't about polarized discussion and taking sides. It was actually about exploring what we thought we saw, and then we would get discussion built through, like, you would have seen something, I would have seen something, we'd start talking about it, and then we bring those things together and we think, oh, so there was even more in there, but it was kind of a positive discussion. This,
well, the character's motivation, the meaning of a scene or a symbol, you know, those sorts of things were the things that we loved talking about a film for hours after we saw it. I hardly know what the point of arguing about whether or not they were wearing the right clothing, had the right accent, or gender matters.
Exactly, exactly. I guess we didn't make TikTok videos back then when we did when we were having those discussions. So I guess maybe that's what's shaping it all. Get it down into you can't have a discussion like that in a 30-second soundbite, can you?
No, you can't. But you can make a point, and I guess that's all they try to do without any substance.
Absolutely. All right, we might wrap it up there. Look, Odyssey is, I guess, worth going to see. I'm not going to say not. You know, I had that reaction. You may think it's the best film in history, or you might think it's the worst film in history, or you might actually have a more nuanced approach and think that there might be somewhere in between, that there are merits, pros and cons, just like any film, really. And I think that that's where we should look to these things.
Oh, I couldn't agree more with that.
Absolutely. All right, so that's it for this week's episode. We'll catch you next time.